So when it seems that there's nothing left, oh, I'm losing some battles, but I'm finding myself. I would turn around, but there are no options left. I can't turn around, 'cause there are no options left. Oh, I got all these dreams.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to This Is How It Starts. My name is Amy Stevlin, and thank you for taking the time to hit play. In this episode, we're switching gears not only to bring you some girl power, but this time I'm talking to an up-and-coming artist who is giving the new generation a fresh voice and sound with all the wisdom and soul of the classics. After finding her on Instagram a few years ago, I'm thrilled to finally be talking to Mo Jackson. She's an incredible young producer, musician, singer, and member of Jackson Ave, a group formed with her four other sisters. Get to know Mo Jackson next on This Is How It Starts. Today on the program, we've got Mo Jackson with us. Now, she is an incredible artist, producer, arranger, performer, musician, singer, the whole package. I'm a super big fan, and also I should mention that you're one-fifth of the musical group Jackson Avenue, which we'll get into that. No vowels. We're too cool for vowels. So we'll get the info out to the people. But is it okay if I just kind of fangirl out for a bit and then we'll just get it out of the way?
Just have your way.
Okay. So I first discovered you on Instagram a couple years ago. I'm not sure how long ago, but I think it's been a few years. And I saw you do this guitar cover of Last Christmas. The way to this girl's heart is through Wham. So.
Oh, really? Oh, sweet. I love
that. Got me.
Wow. Okay, cool.
I mean, and it was just a little bit of guitar, a little instrumental. So good. And then I was like, okay, there's something here. I got to dig into this a little bit more. And wow, not many people can take on like a Whitney vocal or a Prince guitar lick. Holy smokes. I really was just floored. So talented, the singing,
my heart,
everything. So
wow,
you really won me over.
So
and then and that's why I really feel like more people should know about you. I feel like you're an incredible talent that more people should know about. And you know, the other thing that I want to say that I really appreciated about you was, I'm gonna sound like a real old head when I say this, because I came from the school of Janet Jackson and Stevie Wonder and everything.
Let's go.
So the bar is real high, but you know, I feel like today's music is so obsessed with like this performance of wealth and sex, and not that there's anything wrong with those things, and not like, right, you know, this is new, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, we had all that too. But yeah, when I watch you perform, I can feel the joy and how much you love music.
Wow. That really means a lot to me. That really means a lot to me, just because, you know, sometimes when you make the effort to live authentically and, you know, to express authentically and just, you know, because we're all going through this journey of life. But I feel like for me with music, it is something that it's a big part of my life and something that I am passionate about. So it means a lot to me that you feel that way. And that comes through to you from you just watching a video, like how you were saying, the Last Christmas video, which I love that song. It's a timeless, it's just timeless. Yes. It's never gonna not be good, but you know, just I do love music, and so that means a lot to me that it stood out to you and that you could see, you know, that genuine love there just from seeing a video.
When I watch you, I think of the words of the immortal Sister Mary Clarence, like, you're supposed to be a singer, girl. Like, it's there. It is there. It's so there for you. So, okay. Yeah. That's my fangirl moment. Yes.
I appreciate you so much. You're amazing. And I didn't know what video you were going to say. I didn't know what, you know, what you saw or heard that, you know, connected us and that caused us to, you know, start to interact with each other. Yeah. So that's really cool to hear.
I think we do have some mutuals in like the Janet band community. So I think that was also maybe the algorithm was working in our favor that day. So yeah, I think our mutuals too. So
I'm not mad at all.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I mentioned was that you are 1/5 of the girl group, or just the musical group. I don't know if we need to call you a girl group, but that's Navier. So, and so that's you and 4 of your sisters.
That's true.
Now, when I think of some of the great, great sibling groups of all time, there's the Carpenters, the Bee Gees, the Jacksons, of course. Now, simply having that biological connection doesn't work for everyone, because I know when my family gets together at Christmas after a bunch of drinks at 3 a.m, there's always some impromptu rendition of Hotel California, and we don't sound anything like you guys. But there has to be something special that goes along with having that biological connection. What do you think is that secret sauce for you and your sisters?
Wow, I think it's natural and also supernatural, just because, you know, we're a family, you know, so we've grown up together, you know, with our mom and our dad, and they also were into music, and my dad's still also, you know, a producer and a musician and singer. And so growing up in that environment, just naturally, and I guess supernaturally, like, we just began to sing and love music first, and then eventually we would harmonize and stuff, and it just kind of evolved from that point.
That's cool. So it starts with your folks, your family. Yes. Like everybody, the music is in the blood.
Yes. No, it is. And it goes even farther back than, you know, my parents, like even on my dad's side.
Oh, so it goes deep.
Right. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense then. Very cool. And are you guys from Memphis?
We are. Yeah, we are. We're from Memphis, born and raised, though we do spend time in other places, depending on which one of us you're speaking of at that moment, you know,
sure.
We're born and raised here in Memphis. And so, yeah, that's where we're from. There's a lot of rich music heritage from Memphis. So, yeah, Memphis, Tennessee.
Cool. Yeah, I was just thinking, I know from, so I'm part of like a big roller skating community, and
cool.
I learned from traveling around that in different pockets of the country, different regions, they have different styles of skating. So I imagine, you know, just when I think about Detroit and Motown, and does Memphis have a particular musical flavor?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Memphis is soul music all the way. So you can think as far back, you know, as, you know, blues. Blues is a very popular, you know, style that was cultivated in this area, you know, of the states, you know, this, the South. Mississippi, Memphis has very rich music history. B.B. King, the blues artist, is from Memphis. And so much, even, you know, some of the country styles, they kind of blend together, you know, with the blues style. And a lot of that is Memphis history also, and soul music. Known, if what we're known for, I would say soul, rock and roll, because of, this is, what's the term I want to use? Controversial, I guess. But there's like soul.
No, I already know. I hear you. Yep.
No, there's, you know, we have soul, and then we have rock and roll, because we have Elvis, and right. Then because he, you know, born in Tupelo, but he was raised in Memphis, and Memphis was his home. And then blues, country, and gospel. So all those are like in a stirring pot together.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Is that what you listened to a lot growing up from your folks, or?
Okay, growing up, I listened to a lot of gospel music, contemporary Christian music coming up, pop. And then I remember my introduction into like R&B as a kid, hearing Stevie Wonder and The Temptations, The Supremes, and then The Jackson 5 just changed my life. Like when I saw them and I heard them very young, I was probably like maybe 6 or 7. But I was really understanding, and I saw them and I was like, wow, it just really changed everything. And of course, being introduced to Michael Jackson naturally from being introed by the Jackson 5, it just really shaped and changed so much. Like it really it impacted me heavily in a positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I feel like that really comes through. Like you've done your homework. Michael always says, study the greats.
Study the greats.
Yeah,
absolutely. Aside from Michael, that introduction and the Jackson 5, artists like the Winans, and that was like a nice stirring pot of styles. Like Take 6 was like an acapella group. Yeah. Amazing.
Those are the groups I'm most familiar with. Yeah. I grew up in Detroit. So of course the Winans. Yeah. I have that greatest set.
Oh, so you already
Tomorrow, Secret Place. Yeah.
You already know what's up. You already know what's up. So yeah, definitely just a lot of different things. There's a lot of different styles of music, but definitely what sticks out, me being introduced to the Jackson 5, really had a strong impact on me. And then Michael Jackson following right after that. And then there are a lot of other artists, or I would say a handful that like really impacted me a lot, like strongly in a positive way, as I evolved and grew up.
So if I had to like think about, you know, Michael and the Jackson 5 as perhaps like vocalists and performers, now you're a musician, you got chops, you know your stuff. Anybody who influenced you specifically in that area of,
as a musician?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I think, I won't say that it changes, but I think as far as who comes to my mind first, depending on when I'm asked, it can change as far as who I'll say first, but definitely Prince has influenced me a lot as a musician in so many ways. Just his dedication to the craft and the music, it really also had a lasting impression on me, and still, I feel like he's still mentoring me today, just through listening and learning from him. But also Joni Mitchell's another one. She really has impacted me and inspired me, and it really warmed my heart seeing her recently it was a video that was circulating
that she performed. Yeah, I saw that. Recently.
Yeah, that really touched me. She's really amazing also, but she's another one that has really, really impacted me. Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who's an amazing musician and singer, who should be way more well known than she is.
Basically created a whole genre of music.
Yeah, Elvis said it. Yeah. I mean, and the industry, they didn't want to really acknowledge the truth, but these people, you know, they knew what the truth was, and you know, it was just suppressed. It's annoying. It's an annoying aspect of a string of a common flow of history. But she's definitely one that stands out to me and is a huge, huge also influence, and I honor her. She should be much more known.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Way more people should know about her and her legacy. A lot of people want to write off, you know, they call them legacy acts as if it's sort of an insult.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not in their prime anymore, but, you know, we can't discount the value of timeless quality, music that's really been lovingly crafted and painstakingly crafted. I think that we're just not seeing very much today. So again, that's why I'm just delighted to be talking to you. So
I'm so happy to be talking to you too. And that's a very poignant point, a very important point. I just don't see how we can continue to propel ourselves forward in a very honest way without acknowledging and studying the people who have really propelled culture forward and evolved culture and really inspired so many people. And the way music is made today and sonically the way music sounds, to just gloss that over, to me is just, it's kind of disgusting is a strong word, but it is, just because, you know, I really believe in honoring the people that have shaped culture and have shaped music in the way that we listen to it. And even people who may make music a certain way, they may not realize that they're impacted by a certain person who has come before them, but it doesn't change the fact that they have influenced what they're doing. And I just believe in honoring people and their art.
Yeah, totally. I think it's so, what you said was so right on, is that, you know, people kind of, they've absorbed all of this over the years. And then when they put something out, you know, they maybe don't realize that didn't actually start with them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Came from somewhere else, from artists who, you know, again, aren't maybe well known, or what's worse is when it gets absorbed through somebody who's appropriated it, and then that person gets credit for it. And then we start looking at so-and-so created it, and we're like, no.
Correct.
Let's take it back.
Whether it's direct or indirect, I think it's so important to study on your own so that you can know, you know what I mean? Just because I feel like it's so important. So many people, you know, are glossed over or slipped through the cracks. When so many of these people are the innovators, they are the originators and the creators, you know, of, you know, genres and evolving music. And I just think that they shouldn't be forgotten.
Well, while we're kind of sitting in this lane, I'm gonna put you on the spot just a little bit. but I think this is probably the right time to go here. But in order to understand Mo Jackson, to really understand who you are, what are the three songs that we would need to know to understand you?
Oh my gosh, this is like, I'm scared now because I'm like,
I know, I'm not even sure if I could answer it really, but.
Why? I'm going to tell you why, because with me choosing this, with questions like this, like choosing songs and just three songs is, this is like my worst nightmare right now. Like,
what if we go out to albums? Is that easier? Like three albums?
Sure, we can.
Let's try that. Maybe that's not so daunting. Because yeah, I'm not even sure if I can answer that. To be honest,
I'm a rise to the occasion, and I'll just say from where I am right now. Okay, so right now I'm gonna say, "The Knowledge" by Janet for more than one reason. But honestly, I'm just gonna say the whole Rhythm Nation album.
Cool.
So you're gonna say Rhythm Nation, and I'll say Rhythm Nation made a huge impact on me. Even though, like, I wasn't born when Rhythm Nation, you know, came out. When I discovered it, I listened.
You weren't even born. Oh no. God. Okay.
No. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, I wasn't born.
That's on me. I'm sorry.
I'm screaming.
Continue.
I'm literally screaming. Yeah, I wasn't born, but that album really had a strong impact on me. To me, it just speaks to the artist that Janet is and how timeless her music is and the messages that are in her music and that were on that album, how they still, you know, stand true today. And even the quality of the music, how it sounds, the arrangements. Yeah, like it still stands strong. And there were times like I was listening to the album like every day. And so I would definitely say the Rhythm Nation album for one. Number two, I'm going to say Sign of the Times by Prince.
Mm, that's one of my favorites too.
Really? Oh yeah. My gosh. The songs, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Very.
One of my favorite Prince eras. Again, you should have been around.
If I can help it, you know, I would have been there.
What's like the key song for you from that album?
I Can Never Take the Place of Your Man. Is one of my favorites. Course, I like Sign of the Times, like the title track, Starfish and Poppy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
The Door.
Yeah, all great ones. Have you ever attempted the guitar solo on Could Never Take the Place of Your Man?
Kind of.
Kind of.
I like to play along. Like something that I have done is like, I'll just watch the concert movie. And when it gets to that part, like I'll play along. And it kind of gives me this feeling of like I'm playing with Prince when he's like gets the time when he does the solo and I'm still playing the guitar parts, like I'm holding him down.
Yeah.
So that kind of
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. So that I get a big kick out of that. It makes me feel like, wow, yeah, I'm playing with Prince.
Yeah. For me, it was, I used to play the Pringle cans along to Sheila E. So that was my.
I was holding her down.
That was my thing.
And I didn't say this, but Sheila E is also a really big influence on me. She has been since before I started playing the drums when I was probably a preteen. You know, just seeing her play, you know, on her own and with Prince and people like George Duke and other artists. And I know she toured with Marvin Gaye also. I think on the last tour that he did. Yeah, she's been a huge influence on me just as a musician. She's a multi-instrumentalist, but you know, we know that she mainly plays, you know, the drums and timbales and percussion. But yeah, she's also another major influence on me, just as a musician and as a woman. Seeing her as a little girl was like, you know what I mean? Like, you know that thing of seeing another woman do something, and it's like it really stands out and it grips you. I know it gripped me. So that was really special to me. Yeah. So yeah, Sheila E.
Absolutely.
And I know that has nothing to do with like the third album or the third
song. No, that's great. No, because I could totally relate. Like I said, you know, I saw Sheila E. and got out the Pringle cans and started flipping my pencil. You know, we didn't have any instruments, but you know, I got my pencil out, my Pringle cans,
that's
and you know, flipped off and, you know, doing my best Sheila
making
E.
Making it happen.
Yeah. It was really impactful to see a woman like that, you know, playing an instrument, you know, commanding a stage. And, you know, certainly having the respect of somebody like Prince, for sure.
Absolutely. and respect. That's a big word too, because that was definitely there. She's an amazing musician. And she also was a music director too. Like, she music directed his Love Sexy tour, which is kind of crazy, you know, that he put that hat on her. He allowed her to kind of take the reins on that, which is really interesting. But sorry, third. Now, I've wrestled with this while I was talking to you, but I guess I'm trying to give range, I guess, of like things that impacted me, because there's so many different artists, and I don't really don't want to leave out James, because James Brown has been like musically just like a really strong influence on me also, and like Sly and the Family Stone. So I guess I'll just say this is totally left of all the things I just said, but there's a group, they're kind of like a pop group in the in the 90s into the early 2000s named Out of Eden, and they were signed to a label by an artist who's known as Toby Mac. But they were kind of like contemporary pop Christian group, but I grew up listening to them, and so they had a strong impact on me. Just like their sound like was really dope, and the music, but the album is called This Is Your Life, and it came out in 2002, and it was just great, like for the times, like 2002, like pop and hip hop and the style of sonically what that sounded like. I feel like they really captured that really well with this album.
Nice. I have to check them out. I probably have heard them, but maybe just didn't know who they were.
And their sisters. Uh-huh. They were like a family group. So
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I think, you know, that connection was there growing up, listening to them, being introduced to their music. And yeah, it's super nostalgic. So if you go back and listen, it's gonna give you that nostalgic, you know, early 2000s vibe. Early 2000s,
yeah.
No, but I'm into that. I'm into that.
That's so. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very cool. Thank you for indulging me and
of
sharing.
Can I just say honorable mention Thriller, because you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Honorable mention, I can't leave Michael out. I have to honorably mentioning Thriller, because also extremely impactful, and I don't know why I didn't say it before, but
yeah,
Thriller.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, switching gears a little bit. Let's maybe fast forward to the present a little bit. One of the things I'm really curious about, you know, again, when, you know, I look at kind of the landscape of the music industry, I worked in it a little bit sort of on the fringes in the early 2000s.
Okay.
And, you know, now kind of seeing what is, you know, what's happening now. I'm so curious what it is to be a working musician, artist, performer in the 2020s. Are you guys mostly in the studio creating and putting things out? Are you out there doing gigs? Like what is your life?
What is your life? So many transitions have happened, like even in the last 4 years, whether it's, we're speaking of like the music industry, our personal lives, so many things have changed. And so I think since the pandemic, I'll start with that. Like the pandemic, I feel like altered music, the industry anyway, just a lot, and people had to figure out more creative ways to like get their stuff out there, do performances and things like that. And so we didn't do anything live at all at that time. And so I think this is a time of like, we are doing a lot of studio stuff. We're preparing also to release a song. We're preparing to release a song very, very soon. And then following that will be our EP that'll be coming out. But so to answer your question, a lot of studio work, we're still figuring out the flow of what this season and era is looking like, but we haven't stopped creating, and our sound has constantly been evolving, which is a plus as well. But yeah, I think that's where we are now, mainly just recording our music and preparing to release. And we're definitely in the mindset of getting back out there doing live stuff again, ASAP.
Nice. Yeah. You mentioned earlier that during the pandemic, you guys have continued to create, and you found that your sound continues to evolve.
Yes.
I'm curious, what do you think might be contributing to that evolution? If, again, in the situation with the pandemic, everyone is so much more tamped down and isolated.
Yeah.
It's not as easy to go out and get new inspiration or new inputs to vibe off of or drive that change. So where do you think that new input or that evolution is coming from?
I think right away I can say, just as far as inspiration, to me, inspiration, obviously, but people are used as funnels to like funnel creativity and music and art of all kinds, like through themselves. But like for me, my creative inspiration, ultimately, before all of that, is like God, who I think to me is like the greatest creator of all time. So I'm like, to me, that's where it starts. And then it kind of funnels through just like experiencing life and like what's inspiring you. And even after that, just continuing to create, because as you create, you get new inspiration and just new thought processes. You hear a new sound and that might inspire something else. So it's just kind of staying in the flow is what I'll just call it, like staying in the flow, like constantly, or, you know, and then there are times where you're not really in the headspace to create and things like that. But as far as consistency, I'm just saying, like, you know, staying in that flow as much as you can. And music evolves, and you will get fresh and new ideas, even if you hit like a dry time or dry moment, which I believe we all have. I can't speak for everyone, but I know I have.
So, for sure.
Yeah, you go through those ups and downs. And so, yeah, just staying committed to being in it, even if in that moment you're not prepared to like be there or show up, but like having the mindset to continue on, and like the inspiration will come. And so I think that's a part of like how it evolves and just like continues to flow.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I was thinking as you were talking, I was kind of thinking about Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis have been sharing some great stories. Like, I feel like, you know, Jimmy Jam is everywhere sharing all these great stories. And one of the things that I really respected them for was, you know, back then technology is not what it is now, and they had to do so much more with so much less. Yes. And, you know, they, you know, took whatever little technology was available and tweaked it and, you know, came up with brand new things. And now we have 11 billion buttons and things and filters,
11 billion, all of this. Is correct.
Yeah. and I wonder now, in your videos, you mostly, it looks like you play, you know, more traditional instruments, you know, organ, piano, guitar, drums. Do you find that technology plays a part in your music?
Absolutely. Just if you're speaking about what workstation do you use to record music out of, there's so many different options, whether you're going,
the production
aspect of Logic Pro or Ableton or Pro Tools, or like even something like GarageBand or FL Studios. There's so many options as far as like what you can use to create, but within those workstations, technology is evolving. So yeah, we definitely, and as far as for me, I definitely use different programs and different things to up the production value and all those types of things. I'm always looking for just fresh things that kind of elevate the sound to where I feel like I'm hearing it from within, like on the inside. So yeah, definitely, I'm going to say yeah.
Just that last piece you said, you know, you talked about sort of being a vessel and the creativity sort of flows through you. Something you just said, and now I can't remember the words, but I got the sense that you feel or already hear the music within.
Oh, hearing it from within. Yeah.
Getting it out. Yeah. That was it. Yeah.
Yes.
And does that resonate with your process? Like you are, it's already kind of in there and it's just you getting it out.
Sometimes. So to speak. I think it's always there. And this is something that I think about sometimes. I believe that it's always there. Sometimes you just don't know where it is. Think of like a file cabinet or something, and you have all these different like files, and you're looking for something that you don't know what you're looking for sometimes, but it's in there. But I think about this Peter Gabriel lyric from In Your Eyes, and this the part of the song where he's like, without a voice, without my pride, I reach out from the inside. It's like, that's like, you're like, that's how I feel like I am. I identify with that lyric so much for many different reasons, but, you know, reaching out from within is like, that's what creativity. And it's a spiritual thing too, but yeah, reaching out from within to kind of like, sometimes you don't know exactly what you're searching for, and sometimes you can hear it all the pieces and components all at once. You already hear them and you're just figuring out where they go, or you already know. And then there are other times where it's like, there's something and I don't know where it is, or you're like, I don't have any idea. You just start creating. And that's, to me, the miracle of creating music. To me, art is a miracle, because there's nothing and then there is.
Yeah.
So yeah. Especially when you don't have any incentive or any like preconceived notion of like what is going to be created, and you just sit there and you just build and build and build. And then it ends up being this full thing when at one time there was seemingly nothing. So yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but.
Okay. No, I'm with you. And I imagine that that's probably the benefit of having four other talented sisters. So when you have a piece and can't quite figure out where to Tetris it at.
Yeah.
That's your sisters come in, and you know, and that's how you know, I'm assuming you all create sort of together
because we all collaboration as well. Yeah. So
yeah.
Within the group or the collective, like we all are musicians in some way, or we all produce music or and songwrite and arrange. So having all these different components, in addition to being singers, you know, it can either complicate a matter or simplify it. Meaning like either you agree on something or you don't, because you may have a different, you might be hearing it differently. But that's also a test of, you know, growth and maturity and learning to work with others, which is like, you know, to me, it's kind of a superpower, like, you know, working with people, especially if you're used to having things a certain way. I think it's really a tool, a good tool to be able to collaborate with others and learning that that way of doing things. I think it can be very beneficial to know how to flow with others. And so I think that's, even if it looks like a downside, it can be a positive thing in teaching you something of how to work with someone.
Yeah, no humility, struggle, no progress.
Yeah, no, literally. But it takes humility, like, and I think that's a huge thing. It takes humility to create. And I think, you know, a lot of people in art, like, we can have a power trip in making something. But, you know, I think it's like, you really have to step back. And for me, the way that, you know, I view it, it's a gift for me. And I'm already, like, grateful because God is funneling it to me, you know, being able to create, you know, all these things. So I try to view it as a gift. But even in working with others, it's, you have to be like, exercise humility, because things may not always, you know, go your way as far as like you wanting it a specific certain way. And it teaches you, it teaches you to grow in the area of being humble and humility and sharing and considering other people's thoughts and opinions aside from your own way of thinking, which I think we lack a lot in the world today.
Yeah. You have to be open, you know.
Yeah.
Us is certainly an expert in our own right, but sometimes, you know, somebody else can add a little something you didn't think of, and, you know, makes the whole thing better. So yeah, it's just true. Being open,
having an open mind.
Yeah.
You're right. Cool.
Now, speaking of collaboration, from what I could tell, it looks like you've worked with some folks. I thought I saw PJ Morton, who I love.
That's true. Oh, cool. Yeah.
I love his Emotions album.
Came
into PJ Morton.
Very cool.
And also, well, maybe let me just start there, because this was a few years back.
Yeah.
But it looked like you guys had a pretty tight relationship. You guys were performing with him on stage. Tell me a little bit about that whole experience.
Long story short, we went to see a show, and we had recently released like our first song like ever, even though we had been recording things. We released our first song kind of recently around that time, and we went to see his show, and we met him after. I don't really know how that even came to be, but we met, you know, we all kind of like were talking and just kind of like getting to know each other. And I don't know if we sung on the spot that night or anything, but we connected, and he ended up DMing us like not too long after that, asking us, you know, if we would meet him in Atlanta to talk about some music stuff. And we did. And fast forward, we flew to LA to record. We did a few songs together, but the one that is out now is All These Dreams. We recorded that and a few other songs, and our journey together started there. You know, we were involved together for quite some time.
Very cool. One of the other things that I found out about you is that you guys, or you, and help me out with the details here, but actually on the theme song for the recent Quincy Jones documentary.
That's right.
Now that has Mark Ronson on the track, Chaka Khan. Mm-hmm. And I believe you had co-arranged some vocals and sang on the track. Now, Quincy Jones, it doesn't get better than that.
Definitely not bigger.
Yeah. How did that all happen?
We have a friend who's an amazing artist. Her name is Yeba. She's an amazing artist, by the way, Yebba, if you don't know her. She's on PJ's project. They've done a few things together, and she works with Mark Ronson, and she's done things with other artists, but she's brilliant all on her own. She was over at our house, and we were talking, and she was like, you know, I'm doing this session tomorrow. You guys should come. Like, you guys should, you know, come and record, da-da-da. So we go. And it's like for this Quincy documentary, certain things were already established, but we kind of had free range to kind of arrange how we wanted and add parts that, you know, weren't in the song. Like there was maybe one main part that was like established lyrically. And then like, as far as like interpretation of background vocals and stuff. It was kind of left up to us, the five of us and Yeba, to kind of create how we wanted or how we were hearing it. And it was just a really cool experience. And that's what came to be the title track from the documentary, Quincy. And it's just like, wow. I was listening to it the other day and it still is like, that's wow. Like, that's really a thing. Like, we're singing on that and, you know, had.
You did that.
Yeah, like, had to create, we could creatively express and arrange on there. And it was a cool experience. It was a learning experience that I'll never forget. And I don't think any of the girls will either. We were at a historic studio here in Memphis. It's called Royal Studios, with a lot of the legendary Al Green songs. We're recorded there. Shout out to Boo Mitchell, who runs it now. But yeah, we were there. We recorded the song there, and it turned out great. It was really fun. But yeah, that's how it went. When I think about the song, I am still in shock, you know, like, wow, you know, and grateful for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. What an incredible opportunity, but also it had to have been something that you attracted because of your heart, you know?
The world is so crazy. Like, you don't know how things are going to flow and go. And I'm grateful. You know, I really am.
I feel like we're going to be hearing a lot from you. I just feel like there's so much great stuff in the future for you in your own right with your sisters. One thing I'm curious about is, what would be another collaboration that you would just love to do?
Honestly, so many of like people, many of my heroes, you know, have gone on. And so, but there are a few people that it would mean a lot to me to collaborate with them in some sort of way. One of them is obviously, you know, Janet. It would mean a whole lot to me just to be able to work with her and soak up from her just the years of experience and what she's learned and just who she is as a woman. It would definitely mean a lot to me. Janet and my dad, I was just talking to my dad about Joni Mitchell, which I mentioned her.
Let's mention her again.
Yeah.
Definitely. She deserves.
Yeah, definitely. Mariah Carey, she is a giant of a creator and an artist. Speaking of, obviously, Joni Mitchell, we don't even have to say anything, but we will. She's brilliant and amazing. But Mariah Carey also, as a songwriter, as an artist, an arranger, singer, like, it would mean a lot to be able to just see her process and be able to work with her, whether it's co-writing a song or working production on a song, like producing or some sort of collaboration. It would that would be very meaningful also.
All great. Was there another one? I didn't want to interrupt you.
I was thinking about Usher, just because he's also another artist who's had a very strong influence on me. I watched him a lot growing up, and I still have my eye on him now. But he's amazing.
He's still doing the thing, yeah,
and still doing it well.
Roller skating on stage.
Is he okay as a roller skater? Please, can you give me your thoughts? Like, what are your thoughts? Because I can say I don't really skate like that, although I enjoy skating. But to someone who really does it, like, what are your thoughts? Like, is he killing it? Like, what do you think?
Oh yeah, he's definitely got the moves. I love that he skates with authentic skaters in Atlanta.
Yes.
He even hired, you know, he hired some skate dancers for his show. The one he did in Vegas. The residency. So yeah, it's great that roller skating having a resurgence through sort of nebulous means, where it was becoming a white girl in hot pants sort of thing.
Yeah.
When it's actually been a huge part of Black culture for decades.
Yeah.
I was really glad to see that somebody like Usher was taking it up and putting it back into context as to what it really is about.
You're killing it.
I love that he's doing it because it's so much fun. And yeah, I love that he is bringing back the visibility to the culture that originated it.
So, I agree.
Love all of that.
Amy.
Loving all of that. Yeah.
For real. Like, no, but it's very true. And I agree with you. Just because roller skating, the style in which we're seeing it now has been, you know, a Black culture thing, you know, something that we've done for a very long time. And so seeing the resurgence of it and, like, you know, on social media, on TikTok, Instagram, you know, like how you were saying, white girls in hot pants doing their thing, which is cool. but like,
right. You know, with that, but yeah, you can't erase
having people know, you know, yeah. Like being able to say, this is something that, you know, Black people started, and kind of like the way that y'all are doing it, this is where it comes from. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So having somebody like
whitewash it or erase the history of it's not cool.
We've had enough of that.
Yes. So if we 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So it does mean a lot seeing Usher being up there with that backstory attached to it.
And those are all great collaborations. I love the girl power. Love that. And Usher, yeah. Great picks. They may be called legacy artists at this point, but I don't know. I think in terms of quality and craftsmanship, they're still top tier for me. So
I agree.
Great choices.
Thank you.
Great choices.
Yeah. The work speaks. And to me, nothing else, you know, should matter as much. Like the work speaks, what they've already done. They don't owe us anything. You know what I mean? Like what they've already contributed should be respected and honored. And to me, that's the end of the story.
Let's jet into the future now a little bit. You mentioned that you are working on some stuff, you and your sisters, Jack's Nav. What's in the works? What should we look for?
Okay, so I'll just say you can expect something fresh, something that has evolved past what we've released before as far as like the sound, what it sounds like. Genre-wise, you know, it's a little different too. It may give you a little taste of nostalgia. You may not be able to put your finger exactly on where that warm, tingly feeling of nostalgia is coming from, but that warmth that may evoke a certain, you know, warmth of emotion is definitely in the new music. Especially, you know, one of the songs that we're about to release, I'll tell you, it's called Nothing to Lose. And it's just a warm ride out song. You can, you know, just ride in your car and like, but you can vibe and still groove. The harmonies are there. And it'll definitely give you that nostalgic feel with a fresh taste of today.
I'm intrigued. I love it. Yeah. Well, definitely.
Honor the past, but we're trying to propel things forward also.
Always. Yes. Yeah. Always. Yeah. So Nothing to Lose, you said?
Nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. So we'll be looking out for that. Anything else we should be on the lookout for?
I'm going to say it. I myself am working on a project. Yeah, I guess that's all I'll say. You will hear an array of sounds, an array of genres, because I'm really passionate about, you know, being able to express through all the genres, any genre that, you know, you feel it should be expressed without any hesitation or, you know, question or fear. But yeah, but the people, many of the people that I look up to and who have influenced me, that was how they lived. And so seeing that really inspired me, you know, artists like Michael, Prince, Janet, you know, they lived that. It really inspired me. So being able to take from that inspiration and create something new, create something fresh, that's kind of like what this project will be. Just working on production, working on songs, and that's kind of what's in the works.
Looking forward to that for sure. Did I also see that, you just worked on a movie? Is that something you
did? Yeah. A friend of mine who's also an artist, he's a director, a music artist, a producer. He had a song because he was doing a project, and we collaborated on the song, and he had a vision for a film, a short film. And so we shot the short film. I went to where he lives in Connecticut, and I went to do the short film there. And that was a lot of fun. I had never like experienced anything quite like what we being there and what we did. So that was like kind of a fresh new experience for me. But it was a lot of fun and I learned a lot. And so the film should be coming out really soon. Yeah, look forward to doing more things in film also. So that's also a thing that I haven't mentioned while we were talking, but yeah.
Yeah, you're a lady of many talents. I wasn't gonna let you off the hook. I see you. I see you doing it all. Well, that's great. Well, I certainly hope after, you know, folks hear this conversation, we'll get them plugged into you and so they can follow and learn more. Because like I said, I just feel you're so talented and I just feel like more people should know all about you and just thrilled to be talking to you today. And thank you so much.
I appreciate you, Amy. I'm so grateful to be talking to you. I'm just looking forward to sharing, you know, more content, music, visuals, all kinds of creative things. But yeah, I really appreciate you. And honestly, you're a brilliant artist. You're such a great host and a kind person. And I'm very thrilled just to be talking to you and honored that you chose me to talk to. So I'm grateful.
My pleasure. Sounds like so many great things coming up from Mo Jackson. Thank you again so much for being here.
Thank you. I hope to talk to you again.
And that was my conversation with the super talented Mo Jackson. After spending some time talking with her, I really get the sense that she's been here before. Anyhow, if you're a music lover, do yourself a favor right now and go follow Mo on Instagram at Mo Jackson. That's MoJcksn. You can also follow the entire group at Jackson Ave. That's JCKSNAVE. At the very top of the program, you heard just a taste of All These Dreams by Jackson Ave. You can visit jacksonave.com to support the artist and purchase the song, as well as a few others, and it sounds like there's more coming soon. That's JCKSNAVE.com. As always, you can find my website at amiebruckner.com. That's AimeeBruckner.com. And if you enjoyed our conversation, I hope you'll take a moment to rate, review, share, and subscribe so you don't miss out on the next episode of this limited series. Now, the next episode will be the last in the series and also the most personal. So, I hope to see you again next time on This Is How It Starts.